Psalm 85 for the reading of the Word of God this morning. I'm going to ask you to stretch your legs and stand with me just a moment in reverence to God's Word if you're able. I'm just going to read the Psalm. I'm preaching out of a text in verse 10, but it's a beautiful Psalm. The Word of God said, Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from Thy fierceness of Thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause Thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt Thou be angry with us forever? Wilt Thou draw out Thine anger to all generations? Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? Let me just stop right there and say a word. There's not one ill, not one problem that we're facing in our country that an old-fashioned Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival couldn't fix. Show us Thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us Thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him, and shall set us in the way of His steps. If correctly read, that's Psalm 85. You can be seated. Please pray with us and pray for us this morning. Our Father, we want to thank You today for this old book, for the truths, our Lord, that are contained therein. And God, we thank You for speaking to our hearts this week. Thank You for a time, Lord, rest a little bit. Thank You for my precious family. Thank You for the family of God. Now, Lord, before You ever spoke the world into existence, You knew who would be in this building this day, hearing this pastor this day. And our Father, I ask You to speak to our hearts. I ask You, Lord, to encourage our hearts. Lord, I do remember Brother Zeke and the many others, our Father, today. Lord, we know that there is a river we must cross over. But Lord, I'm so glad to know we will not cross that river alone. I pray, dear Father, You bless our people. Lord, I pray that You'd bless our country. Help us, oh God. Lord, help us. Lord, we love You. Lord, it's all because You first loved us. Lord, we pray, have Your way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach a little while this morning on the thought the Lord put on my heart, and it was this week as I was reading, and then last night I couldn't get settled. I got up this morning and began to read again in another place in the book of Psalms. It seemed like over and over God put these two words together, mercy and truth. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And the Lord began to speak to my heart I want to give you some instances in the Word of God where mercy and truth are met together. It's a beautiful thing when they meet together. I thought about in the very beginning how that mercy and truth met together. God made a man. Everything that God made, He said it was good, but He came along and He said it wasn't good that man would be alone. So He put that man to sleep. I reckon the Lord was the first anesthesiologist. He put him to sleep. He took a rib out of his side and He made a helpmeet for him. He made a woman. And I'll tell you what my grandfather said. He said, if God made anything any better than a woman, He kept it for Himself. I believe Adam was, for lack of a better way to put it, thrilled, tickled to death when he woke up to his beautiful wife, Eve. And then God gave him some restrictions. There was this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they were not to eat of. And what did they do? Eve listened to the old slewfoot, listened to that serpent. And the serpent said, hath God said? And then later he said, God hath not said. You know what happened? The truth is fixing to come out. What God said was true. What God said will always be true. But I want you to see how that mercy met truth in the garden. I thought about this. Adam and Eve find themselves now scrambling to cover up their nakedness. They realize that they're naked. They realize that God has come looking for them. And they think they can hide. I want you to know this. There is a hiding place. But you can't hide from God. You must hide in Him. My life is hid with God in Christ. You can't hide from Him. You can't go far enough away to get out of His presence. The psalmist said, if I made my bed in hell, you still would know exactly where I am. Thou art there. I believe with all of my heart what happened. I believe there had to be some discussion going on. Adam, she gave to his husband and he did eat. There had to be a little bit of discussion going on when they were thrust from the garden and the cherubim was given to keep the way of the garden lest they return and eat of the tree of life. But something happened. I believe Adam and Eve may have discussed it a little bit. Honey, we messed up. Remember how good it was to walk with God in the cool of the day? Remember how good it was not to have this guilt on us, to be able to fellowship with God. But mercy meant truth. You say, preacher, what's the truth you're looking for here? I'm telling you the truth is this. Fellowship with God is going to require blood. And so what God did is He slew the animals and He made for them coats of skin. And the Word of God teaches us, beloved, that they were able to fellowship once again with a holy God. I want to just stop and say this morning, I thank God that in the garden, in the very beginning, mercy met up with truth. Yes, they blew it, but thank God there's a God in heaven that was merciful then and merciful now. Beloved, I'm speaking to a congregation of people, and I dare say that not one of us could stand and say, I've never blown it. I've never gotten away from God. But thank God there's mercy. And when mercy and truth meet together, it's a wonderful thing. I believe what I told you because I believe that it's not just a coincidence. I don't believe it's coincidence that Abel brought of the firstling of the flock. I believe he was taught that. I believe the children were taught, Mommy and Daddy, we sinned. Oh, listen to me. It would be a great disservice to our children to try to live like we've never sinned, like we've never made our mistakes. Say amen. I believe that Adam and Eve taught the children, taught Cain and Abel. And I believe Abel said, listen, I believe that. Listen, there's a sacrifice that's going to point forward to a cross where God one day will have mercy on men's souls. Cain brought the fruit of the ground. It was rejected by God. And I want to say this. It's the mercy of God that Cain didn't die instantly for what that he did to Abel. I said it's the mercy of God that he didn't die instantly. And I'll tell you this morning. I hope before I'm done preaching, you'll understand this. It's the mercy of God that you're sitting where you're sitting, and that I'm standing where I'm standing, and that I'm not already frying in the region of the damned. Because that's all that we deserve as sinful people. But thank God we heard the truth. And thank God that, listen, when you hear the truth, there's an opportunity for mercy and truth to meet together. There's an opportunity for righteousness and peace to kiss each other in our hearts and in our lives. I thought about this. Mercy and truth met together there in the garden. Early on in the days of mankind, God wanted us to know what mercy was. I won't get this story exactly right. I wish I had my son here to tell it. He just told it to me last week, but there's a lot of details that I'm sure that I'll leave out. But the gist of it was, his oldest son, is Lucas 14 now, 13? Is he 14, honey? 13? He's 13 years old. How many remembers being 13? How many of you boys remember being 13? Amen. The only difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. Amen. How many of y'all remember being 13? This is what my son said to me. He said, Dad, Lucas failed a test. And he said, Dad, it wasn't nothing but pure laziness. You know what I said to my son? I said, the nut don't fall far from a tree. Well, he said, there's a tree above me. That's what he said. You can't get one on him. And so what he did, Brother Gary, he made Lucas sit down and write the lesson. Write it all out. Dear God in heaven. Lucas had wrote for 4 hours. My son got to feeling sorry for him. So he went in the bedroom there and he said, Son, it's after 10 o'clock. He said, you can finish that up in the morning. And he said, no, Dad. I need to get it done tonight. My son said he went back in the bedroom and he began to cry. And he came back in Lucas's bedroom and he said, Son, he said, you don't have to finish it. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to look up the definition of the word mercy. And I want you to write it down. And he said, I want you to bring it in here in a minute where me and your mom's at. And he said they had a good time of fellowship together. When Lucas discovered what mercy was, and as they discussed mercy, let me tell you something. Somewhere along the way, you're going to need mercy. Somewhere along the way, if you ever get to heaven, you're going to have to let God's truth meet up with God's mercy and let God's righteousness bring peace in your life. There's no escaping it. No escaping it. What a blessing. What a blessing. Our Lord, Brother Sam said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, the best Christians in the world are those that don't look down their nose at people and judge them and say, well, I'm glad I'm not like them. That's pharisaical, amen.
I believe the best Christians in the world are those that can say, but for the grace of God, I'd be there or I'd be in worse shape. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, that's why God let me preach the way he did in prison for 10 years. I'd tell the men, the only difference between you and me is you got taught. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't want you to be my pastor. It's too late. You probably wouldn't want the Apostle Paul to be your pastor either. I don't reckon I ever killed anybody in that sense, Brother Steve, especially for being a child of God, for being a follower of Jesus. In the garden, righteousness and peace have met each other, and mercy and truth have met together. The second thing I thought about, and I'm probably not going to get to all these today unless you want to stay half the afternoon. But the second thing I thought about was this. In God's man, mercy and truth met together. You remember they were looking at the sons of Jesse. Man had appointed a king, so to speak. Man's choice was Saul. But God's choice was going to be David. They marched all of them in front of Samuel, and Samuel said, is there any left? And said, yeah, there's a David, there's a little shepherd boy out there tending the sheep. He said, send for him, go get him. He said, we're not going to sit down until he comes. And God anointed David, king of Israel. God said that he sought him out a man after his own heart. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 51. I'm not going to read the text in Samuel, but here in Psalm chapter 51, I want to read a few verses. Everybody knows the story. In the year the kings went forth to battle, David, the word of God said, tarried still at Jerusalem. He was up on the housetop. I want to say this. I don't have proof of this. It may not have been the first time that he looked at Bathsheba. Sometimes it's not the first time when a man or a woman falls into temptation. But he definitely was out of place. I definitely believe that he was not hiding the word of God in his heart that morning. I definitely believe that he was not on praying ground with God that morning. Don't you look at me like that. If you've been saved any length of time, there have been some days you wasn't on praying ground either. There's some of us here in this building. It's the grace of God our marriage is still together. Amen. The mercy of an almighty God. And David looked down there and he saw the woman bathing. He sent for her. God, the word of God said, his servant said, is not this Bathsheba the wife of Uriah the Hittite? You remember the story. I believe that servant is the type, Bob, of the Holy Ghost. When we start to go in a wrong direction, I believe God, the Holy Ghost, will warn us. No, 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 no. This is wrong. Remember this verse? Remember this message? Remember this man that did the same thing? Remember what it cost him? David said, on anyway. And David slept with Bathsheba. David did his best to cover it up. How did he do that? He sent for Uriah, her husband. Said, let's just bring him in and, you know, he'll go in with his wife. He'll be with his wife and nobody will ever know what's going on here. They'll not know that it's my baby. I don't reckon they had DNA testing back then. But you know what I believe? Turn this thing off for me, Brother Steve, would you please? I forgot it, brother. Thank you. You know what I believe? I believe with all of my heart that David was being eaten up inside because he knew. Beloved, you and I want to say this, saved or not saved, we know when we do wrong. God gave us a conscience. And unless that conscience has been seared like with a hot iron, We know when we do wrong. And David covered it up. And he let's get him to come in. Well, Uriah wouldn't do it. He was such a man of character. And he said, how can I do that while my men are out there laying their lives on the line? How can I do that? And so he got him drunk. And Uriah still would not go in to Bathsheba. I believe it's a sin to get another man drunk. Well, it's quiet. I said, I believe it's a sin to get drunk, and it's a sin to get another man drunk. The Bible said something over there. I believe it's in Proverbs about woe being to him that puts the bottle to his neighbor's lips. Is that right or is that wrong? Nobody say anything about that these days. Somebody said one time, and I believe it's right, said Congress will never vote against liquor because they like drinking it too much. Beloved David thought he had it all buried. He sends a letter with Uriah back to Joab. He pens it out. He said, I want you to take Uriah into the hottest part of the battle. And then he said, I want you to retire from him. All of you are going out there together, but you're only going to leave one man standing. I'm going to tell you this, and it's a God's truth. David might as well have stuck a sword in Uriah himself. He was totally responsible for his death. So he marries Bathsheba. He thinks it's all good now. Down in his heart, he knew better. The Bible in the end of the chapter said, but the thing which David did displeased the Lord. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something right now. Everything we do either pleases God or it displeases God. You know what's wrong with our generation? We think there's somewhere in between. I said everything that we do either pleases God or it displeases God. That's why the Bible said whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you can't do what you're doing and believe this is pleasing to the God that I love and serve, don't do it. Little boy, he was just a little over 2 years old. I used to pastor down at Liberty. He couldn't say my name. The way that Rick Vinoy come out was this, Lick Noy. His daddy said one day he went home from church and said he grabbed one of the Bibles there in the living room and he jumped up on the couch and he took the Bible and he smacked the Bible. He said, I Lick Noy. He said, I preach. He said, people don't do that. That's all he got out of my preaching. And knowing him, that's all he needed to get. There's some things we just shouldn't do. Yeah. Pastor, where are you going with this? Look at Psalm 51. Nathan had come to David. Nathan had stood toe to toe with David. Nathan told David a story. You know the story about the parable with the little ewe lamb. The poor man had a little ewe lamb. It ate with him. It slept with him. It was his pet. The rich man had all kinds of lambs. A traveler came by. And the rich man slew the poor man's lamb to feed the traveler. David heard the story and he swelled up. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'd better be careful swelling up. We need to be humble. Let's not swell up. He said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, the man that's done this thing shall surely die. Boy, I admire Nathan. He had a backbone like a saw log. He stood toe to toe with the king of Israel and said, you're the man. Thou art the man. You say, Pastor, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Truth was spoken to David that day. We're living in a generation, listen to me carefully. I thank God for our church. But we're living in a generation where the average individual does not want to hear the truth. They want their ears tickled. They want to come in their sin, leave in their sin, and feel good in their sin. I'm going to tell you something right now. Somebody that loves you will tell you the truth. Jonathan and David were great friends. Jonathan loved David as his own soul. I wouldn't argue with you, but I believe Nathan was just as good a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus won't let us go down the wrong road till he's going to get there in that road with us and say, this is the wrong way. Turn. In Psalm 51, look what happens. David has been approached by Nathan. Nathan said, you're the man. Part of me wants to believe it was almost, Brother Steve, like it was a relief. This that's been on the inside of me is out now. God's got my number. Have you ever been there in life? If you've ever been saved, you've been there. Because that was the first time when you realized God's got your number. Don't matter what everybody else thinks about you, God's got your number. God had my number. I'm going to tell you, since I've been saved, there have been some times when God had my number. Nobody else knew, but God knew. You say, Pastor, I don't know why you would talk about that. Maybe because I realize how frail that we are. How prone, the songwriter said, prone to wander. Brother Ralph, prone to leave the one I love. That's our direction as men. David in Psalm 51, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. He knows the truth now. And he knows God knows the truth. And he cries out, look at the first verse. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David even understood, beloved, there was only one hope. And that is that God would not give him what he deserves, but that God would have mercy on his soul. David in Psalm 51, if you've studied the psalm, he is not trying to stay saved. He is not trying to get saved again, which is impossible. If you've been saved, praise God, you're saved. Amen. And you're saved forever if you've ever been born again. But David has lost the joy. David has lost the fellowship. And David wants God to be merciful. The truth has come. May truth meet up with mercy. And may I be restored to that place of blessing. I'll tell you something. If you've ever lived for God, you know what a blessing it is to be saved. But you also know what a blessing it is when you get sideways or you get astray. What a blessing it is to come to God, say, oh God, I don't believe he's ever, Brother Ike, heard one man come to him humble. The Bible said he'll draw nigh to him that's of a broken and a contrite spirit. Oh God, forgive me. David is crying out for mercy. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. That's why I said I believe it was like a cancer. He couldn't get it off of his mind. How'd you like to know you were guilty of killing a man like Uriah? A man of such character. A man of such integrity. And David knew. David knew. He knew. I just want to stop and thank God that mercy and truth met together in David's life. One more verse before I go to the last thing in the message today. Look with me, if you will, over. I believe it's Psalms 139. No, yes it is, Psalm 139. You remember in this Psalm of David, down towards the end, David cried out in verse 23 and verse number 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. I want to ask you a question this morning. If this had been the prayer on the morning or the afternoon that it happened, if this had been his prayer that morning, would that afternoon have been different? If he would have that morning fell on his knees and said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." I want to say this morning. Listen to me carefully. There can be wicked ways that we're not even aware of. Did anybody hear what I just said? Just waiting to pop their ugly head up. And we ought to learn from David that mercy and truth can meet together. But we also ought to learn that somebody said a wise man learns from his mistakes, and a wiser man learns from the mistakes of others. If you're a mom, you're a dad, you're a mamaw, you're a papaw, surely to God you don't want your children making the same mistakes you made. Because if they make the same mistakes we made, they'll carry the same scars that we carry. It's quiet. Sin, beloved, listen, can be forgiven in the mercy of God. But that does not erase its consequences. Do you remember God told David, the sword will never leave your house? He said, "Preacher, that's not such a big deal." You read how David wept over his children. He said, "Preacher, that's not such a big deal. This man after God's own heart wanted to build the house of God. And God wouldn't let him because he was a man of war. It cost him. I don't care who you are. Sin carries a high price tag. When you're preaching on the mercy of God, some people, I believe, get the idea, well, mercy will be there. But don't ever forget this. So will the consequences." The first preacher I ever heard say this, I don't know if it was original with him, but Brother Danny Sykes said this, and I've never forgotten it. He said, "You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose your consequences." You think about that for just a moment. God is merciful. Truth, when it meets up with mercy, will help us on down the road for the glory of God. The next place I want to go, in the garden, in God's man, truth met up with mercy. The last place I want to go in the message today is Golgotha. At Golgotha, Calvary's Hill, mercy and truth met together. On that day when they crucified Jesus, the truth was he was dying for the sin of the whole world. The truth was there could never be any mercy apart from the sacrifice that was going to happen at Calvary that day. I thank God our Lord was able to look at that crowd and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." At one point in the crucifixion, both of the thieves are railing on him. "Come down and get us down, if thou be the Christ." One thief changed his mind through this whole ordeal. And he looked up, looked over at Jesus. And he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You say, Pastor, what happened that day? I'll tell you what happened. When he said, Lord, that was the truth. Jesus, to a lot of people, is a good man. He's a prophet. He's a good teacher. But Jesus to the church, Jesus to the children of God, is the Son of the living God. Somebody said, he made himself equal with God. I'm going to tell you something. He didn't have to make himself anything. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Thank God because of Calvary. Because Jesus was willing. The Word of God said, He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The Word of God, let me read a verse in Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8 and verse number 9. The Word of God said, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye, through His poverty, might be made rich. I say, hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. You say, Preacher, why did He do it? I'll tell you why. There was a publican one day. There was a Pharisee. He prayed, the Word of God said, thus with himself. When you pray like this, you're not praying with God, you're praying with yourself. He said, Father, I thank You that I'm not like other men are, but I fast twice in a week. I pay tithes of all that I possess. And I'm even not such as this publican. And the Bible said the publican smote upon his breast, would not so much as turn his eyes towards heaven. Here's what he said. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what happened? Truth met up with mercy. Jesus went to Calvary, Brother Steve, so that February the 22nd, 1987, a young man could leave the front bench where everybody thought he was okay. He could leave the front bench and kneel at an old-fashioned altar of prayer. And truth, I was a sinner. I never admitted it, but I was a sinner. And here come mercy. God had mercy. Emily, I won't forget that night, honey. Over Brother Eddie's. As an altar, here come Emily. God had mercy, didn't He, Emily? Emily realized the truth. And God had mercy. I could go through the church. Thank God. Brother John, we ain't setting the woods on fire. No, we're not. But thank God there's some lives right among us where truth and mercy got together and changed their lives. I thank Him today. Mercy and truth are met together. There was a trade happened that night. My righteousness, which is as filthy rags, was traded for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only did mercy and truth meet together, But righteousness and peace kissed each other in my life. And I want to say this. They've been kissing ever since. That's the only peace that we have, beloved. It's not in, I don't have peace in preaching. I don't have peace in praying. I don't have peace in reading my Bible. I have peace because the Prince of Peace lives right there in my heart and in my life. Mercy and truth met together. Jesus went to Calvary. He gave his life so that every sinner that acknowledges the truth is God is holy. The truth is we're helpless. I said the truth is God is holy. And the truth is we're helpless. The truth is heaven is real. The truth is so is hell. The truth is there's only one way to heaven. Mercy and truth, they meet up in one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know how someone that preaches that or believes that is frowned upon in this world? Don't matter to me. I'll be smiling forever. When they're frowning forever, I'll be in the presence of God, in the presence of His people, while so many will find themselves separated for all eternity. I believe one of the worst things about hell is the separation. People can talk about a party, but what I've read, it's outer darkness. They'll not know one another. They'll be weeping. They'll be wailing. They'll be gnashing of teeth. There'll be people that want to die. There'll be people wishing that some of the cults were right. When you die, it's over. Beloved, when you die, it's not over. It's just begun. By the mercy of God and the truth of God's word, I shall be satisfied when I awake with His likeness. Let me ask you a question. Has mercy and truth ever met up in your life? Have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? Are you here today like David, and there's a great distance between you and God? You know you've been born again, but you also know that you don't have that sweet fellowship and that communion like you used to have. I'll tell you something, you don't have to leave here that way today. You can leave here with joy in your heart. You can leave here if you're lost, saved by the grace of God. If you're here today, you don't have God's joy in your life. I've got news for you. It's not His fault. He's never changed. He's just like He was the night He saved me. He's just like He was when He did that for Adam and Eve over in the garden. And He'll never change. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. If you're here today and there's a distance between you and God, that joy's not there. Won't you run to Him? Why don't you agree with Him? Lord, you're right and I'm wrong. Why don't you let mercy and truth meet together in your life? Let righteousness and peace kiss each other. Be a blessing. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you today for the privilege, Lord, to come in your presence. Lord, I don't know who you might be speaking to today, but God, you know. It's my prayer, Father, that the Word of God will speak to the hearts of the people of God. Lord, that one that's unsaved, might consider their ways this day, might consider the end, might consider our Father where they would be if they were to leave this world today. Help us, dear God, to be honest with you, that mercy and truth might meet together once again. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. They come and get us a song.